Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in to our latest episode of Five Guys Stories and Lies. Actually, it's four guys tonight, Stories and Lies. Tom Brown is feeding his face somewhere in Lake Charles.
No, here.
Why? Oh, I'm sorry.
It's in Lafayette.
I thought it was Kinder.
No, that's where the big guys are going.
I thought he was going with the big guys.
No. He's got to stay here and entertain, man.
I thought they were entertaining in Kinder.
There's some entertaining going on over there, that's for sure. But, no, so... Tom's not with us tonight, but there's Bruce Brown and Bobby Aldrin.
And you.
And me. And you.
And me.
All right.
And our wizard behind the curtain.
Yeah, there he is. Big CD.
Pay no attention to the man behind the glass.
That's a pretty good one there, CD. Oh, so what we got?
Well,
I got plenty, but go ahead.
Well, why don't we start off? Bobby, what are you chewing?
Gum.
Quit that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Unless you brought enough for everyone. Quit that.
No, I'm listening.
That's 55 seconds, Bobby.
I let my students chew it all the time in class, and when they asked me why, I said it's better than smelling bad breath, so I let them chew gum all the time.
Somebody ought to have a pool. It's like, how long before Don insults somebody or says something sarcastic as hell? 55 seconds today. If you have that on the pool, you win.
But
well, if you hadn't been talking so much early on, I would have broken that.
All I said was he's going to stay around here, but you had to start.
Fortunately,
so he's not even
choose
going,
to ignore.
He's not even going to entertain. We're missing his presence tonight on this show.
I told him to call.
Which is a big, but I don't want to talk to him on the phone.
I do. I told him, said, call. We'll talk about UL softball. You just blow Don's mind.
No, we won't.
No, yeah, we will.
We're going to talk about it right now.
CD, if he calls, you're going to put him on.
CD, if he calls, don't even think about putting him on.
No,
So this breaks the rule of the show where we promise not to hang up on you?
No. If we never put him on, he will not be hung up on.
CD will hang up on him. No, we're not breaking
it's
the rule.
Technicality.
No. If Tom Brown calls,
you got to talk to him to hang up on him.
I'll talk to him.
I won't.
Well, that's the point. Maybe he don't want to talk to you about UL softball. I saw that sarcastic.
Is he going to be talking with his mouth full? That's what I want to know.
No, but I saw that sarcastic remark you put on email. I saw that.
What sarcastic? I haven't
seen
something
about UL softball.
Oh, that was text, Glenn. That was not email.
A text. Okay. All right. Hey, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, Big Don, what are we talking about?
We're talking about softball.
What you want to say?
I want to throw out the question to you. Which was more painful, today's loss by the baseball team or softball's loss to Ole Miss?
Softball is down. Oh, softball.
I think it's pretty close. Yeah, the difference is softball ended the season.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about softball is, again, that girl made that great catch in the outfield. I didn't see it, but Tom was telling me about it.
Yeah, that was back in, like, what, fourth inning?
That's a two-run homer, man.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and I mean, it was a spectacular catch from everything I've heard and read.
Took a home run
okay,
away.
And then they had the bases loaded, and they hit a line drive that if it goes a couple inches another way, there's another two runs. That's four runs. Coulda, shoulda, woulda been.
Ole Miss had their opportunities to win the game earlier, too. You know, it comes down. Here's my sincere thought on this.
They got
beat by a better team. And they got beat twice in the same day by a better team.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it fairly, they won the first game because of a throwing error.
Yeah. They got two runs on the throwing error.
Yeah, so you're probably right. You're probably right that the better team did win, but the fact of the matter is they had a chance to win.
Yes, they did. They had a couple of chances to win.
Yeah, and, you know, it's sad to see the season end like that, you know. But I think they have, I had it written down somewhere. With all the starters they got coming back, And then, you know, with the addition of some of those girls, I mean, they ought to be loaded next year. Their big problem for next year is not talent. Their big problem is, and we've talked about this earlier, they better upgrade that schedule.
Thank you. You took the words literally right out. That's their big problem.
Yes, it is.
Is an inability to schedule strong, and that falls singularly on one person.
Yes.
Well, it also falls on the Sun Belt Conference. When you go 28-0 against your conference opponents, there's not a whole lot of competition right there.
There's not within the conference. No, there's not. But there certainly is out of the conference.
Absolutely.
Waiting for
I agree.
You.
I agree.
And you're gonna if you have to go on the road to play them, then you go on the road.
You got
to
be aggressive because you're never going to better yourself playing that bunch in the conference. You're just not going to learn anything from that.
How many? I saw the stat. How many top 50 games did the Cajuns play this year? Three.
Didn't one or two get snowed out in Oklahoma?
Well, Oklahoma, yeah. Oklahoma had one blown away because of the miserable weather. What was the second one against Oregon State?
Yeah, I think it was in that same weekend.
Yeah, it was Oklahoma, though, that was the big one that they missed.
Yeah.
Florida State, I think, canceled out on a series that they were going to have here this year, and that they were going to have that here.
So he's apparently making an effort, you know, to schedule tough. It's just, I mean, things conspired against them this year, it sounds
Yeah,
like.
There are. And there are some teams, if you go back and look at the schedule, they don't need to be playing
at
any time, any place.
But you know, Don, when I was watching the NCAA selection show and all the different teams were flashing up there on the screen, it's like, well, how many of these teams did the Cajuns play? You know, I mean, they have, as all of us, and even Clint, I think, agrees, even if they have to play away from Lafayette, which they're going to have to do, they have to play a better schedule.
I think that's what you said, and they got to do it on the road.
And I'm looking at their lineup for the two season opening softball tournament games in Lafayette, and
Are you talking about this year's or next year's?
This year. It was okay. A nothing tournament. They need a.
I fully agree.
That's something that Yvette was not afraid to do in the early stages of the program. She'd go anywhere and play somebody good. And it built the program up to being competitive.
I think it carried through to Mike's regime also. You know, they went on the road and they played in the California tournament.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Yeah.
Till towards the end, when you look at what, I mean, to Bobby's point, I mean, we had these kind of tournaments happen over the last, like, at least 5-6 years that I can remember. You have these tournaments early on in the year where it's relative nobodies you're playing against. You're not going to get better with those. One of the things I think they should do is try and put their hat in the proverbial ring to be part of that St. Petersburg Invitational, where there's a lot of teams that are consistently in that tournament, in that NCAA tournament, because that winds up looking really good on RPI.
I don't know if that's the way it works. If you can call up the director and say, hey, you consider us playing there too?
They can try.
Yeah, I mean, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, I think
if you told no.
I think the Cajuns do that for the baseball tournament in Houston. I think they've done that. They've proven that they can bring a crowd,
yeah.
And that's what Houston likes. And, you know, the same thing would happen here. They could bring a crowd. But what I don't understand is why doesn't he host a tournament with big-name teams at Mardi Gras time? I mean, there's no excuse in the world for not being able to bring the best teams in.
Unless you start hearing the same old excuse that you get in football and basketball.
Oh, basketball especially.
And they're like, they don't want to play us. Nobody will come in here to play us.
That used to hold true when the Cajuns were playing basketball in Blackham. Yeah, I could believe that. But, you know, now they play in the Cajun Dome. Nobody's scared of them in the Cajun Dome.
No,
nobody's afraid to come into Teague Moore or to come to Lamson Park. They're not afraid to come in here. But giving them incentive at Mardi Gras, golly, that's not a better time of the year to invite anybody anywhere than Mardi Gras. So, you know, those kids get to experience a cultural thing. And if I was him, I'd get on the phone and I'd do that. I wouldn't invite the schools, Houston Baptists and all these little schools that they're inviting and playing. I mean, goodness gracious. You know?
No, I agree with you completely. I don't think anybody in this room will disagree with you. There are probably some UL fans that won't disagree with you. There are probably a lot of them.
Yeah.
They want to see the schedule upgraded also. Now, I know there are reasons it was not. Well, okay, that was this year, that was last year.
Right.
Next year, they're There is no excuse.
And that's also going to be one of the factors in getting a home regional.
Absolutely.
Is upping your schedule. Because Ole Miss plays in the SEC, so they're automatically got an inside lane to getting to hosting a regional. You know, and Cajun fans always want UL to host. Well, that's nice, but you're not going to get that without a lack of a number of respect.
I didn't realize it, but Tennessee has hosted 15 straight. Not just being in the regionals, they have hosted 15 straight mm-hmm. regionals. Now, I remember reading on the message boards when I was dumb enough to look at that before the games began in softball. And there were a couple of guys who said, yeah, if you look around, it's a lot better to be a number two seed and go there instead of being a number one seed and hosting these. Has anybody looked around at the results of how many two or three seeds won and how many number one seeds host teams did not win?
I know last year the ones just completely swept the first rounds. I mean, they're all the regionals. I think they might have one or two, but it was just preponderance was the one seeds advanced. That's why you host.
I know this. I'm sure there's a one seed that did not advance this year, but I can't think of who that was. And
well, the thing is,
the wizard behind the curtain can look that up for us.
Here's another thing about being a one seed, because UL, okay, and I'm just going on my information from my man Tom, but apparently they had some calls,
Coach that, Brown.
Apparently they got some calls against them.
Oh, my
but if
goodness.
You go to but you know this, whether it's in football, baseball, whatever, if you go to an SEC tight site, you're gonna get hosed, Jack.
Hey, those are not SEC officials.
It doesn't matter. You're gonna get it.
I don't buy it.
I do.
I do not buy it.
I do.
And they may have had a couple of calls. Actually, they had one call in particular that even when you read about it, sounds a third base umpire, and they've got four umpires out there.
Yeah, so the interference got
one,
call.
They got one for each base.
Yeah, the interference call.
I don't know. Was the interference call? Or the,
yeah, it was the interference call, I'm pretty sure. That
the third
about.
Base umpire is making a call at second base where the second base umpire is looking at it and not making that call.
Cool.
But the third base umpire overruled the second base umpire.
Wow.
That one makes no sense.
It happens in football. Didn't it happen in the Saints? It happens everywhere where some guy that has no business overruling somebody overrules them.
Yeah, but in that case, you know, the Saints didn't get hosed by the hometown officials. That did not happen. I don't think it happens in softball necessarily either, because there is no hometown. Now, the fact that 7,000 to 8,000 show up at these parks to root for the home team and make a lot of noise, that may come into play.
May influence
that,
an up.
That may
Absolutely.
Come into play.
You know, the thing that struck me about the Oxford Regional was Ole Miss, the number one, was a number 11 seed, and Chattanooga and Southeast Missouri were the other two teams.
Right.
I mean, if the Cajuns wanted to visit a regional as presumably a number two, this was the regional that was set up for them to win.
Yep.
And they didn't do it.
Right.
I mean,
they didn't get it done.
I was looking at all the other regions, and it's like, no, they might not have a chance in this one. But this is the one they really had a chance
You're right,
to win, and they didn't do it. So they need to recalibrate, reassess, and say, okay, what are we doing wrong? And if you look at their offensive statistics the last couple of weeks of the season, these girls were just not hitting recently as they did in the start of the season.
Now, what was the number somebody looked up in the last 4, 6, 8 games, including the regionals? They hit like 200.
It was not good.
Really roaring into postseason, didn't they? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What'd you find out, Clint?
About the only team that wound up not being a one seed in this one, in that NCAA softball tournament, James Madison out of the Michigan Regional.
All right, so Michigan was the team that hosted that did not win.
Yeah, all the other ones hosted and won.
And
it was pretty much chalk.
Yeah, so don't give me the line anymore that, oh, it's better to be a two seed and travel somewhere. No, it is not. It is better to host.
Who brought up that argument?
And I don't care if you're a one seed or a two seed. It is better to host. Period.
From the question.
Yeah. Now, you threw the softball for the moment.
Oh, that's your softball for the day? That's Tom didn't even get a chance to call in.
Oh, gee. You know what? Man, Tom could have called, but we need to take a commercial break right now. You're listening to Five Guys Stories and Lies, minus one. 706-0111. The number here at the studios. We'd love to hear from you, unless your first name is Tom. We'll be back after this.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Five Guys Stories and Lies. Actually, tonight it's Four Guys Stories and Lies, but that's okay. It's the right four guys.
Oh, Tom, he's getting you, buddy.
706-0111. That is your number here at the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Yes, the four guys that want to be here with you tonight are here.
Wow. He's cold, man. He's cold, brother. Yeah. Well, can we talk to the fifth? You didn't hang up on him, did you?
No, I mean, the rule of the show is we promise not to hang up on you. Right, Tom?
Put the man on.
I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Have you been listening to Don's glowing words about you?
Yes, I have. If Don would give the phone number out every now and then, I would have called a lot earlier.
Then I hardly wish I had never given the phone out at all.
Hey, I just wanted to clarify that I did not blame the umpiring.
No, I never said you did.
I know. I just wanted to clarify. But there were three atrocious calls in that last game. They were atrocious. Do you know what that means, Don?
Yes. It means this phone call, amongst other things.
There were three really. I mean, you got to watch the obstruction call and the slide in the third base, because first he goes out, then he goes safe. Then he puts his other hand up, and he don't know what to do. And then he finally goes, okay, it was instructions, you see. I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me, you know. And she was in front of the bag on the third base side, and the girl had a clear path to the bag, and she slid and got tagged 2 feet from the bag.
Well, Tom, that doesn't sound like Homer, is it?
Carol leaned over. I'm saying that my point was that you're in an NCAA regional. Your officiator's got to be better than that.
That was,
you know, that's y'all trying to mention it for the Saints. That's like having the Saints in an NFC Championship game. The officiator's got to be better than that in an NCAA regional.
Yeah, I know. Tom, take a deep breath. It's not that it was Homerism. It was incompetence.
Right, exactly. That was my point.
That was his point. You have to be better officiating, yeah.
The double play call with Alyssa Dalton, the replay clearly showed her foot was still on the base when she had the ball in the glove. And in her hand to throw it, you know, and then she calls her out on the double play, and then they have a conference between the four umpires and change their mind and say she's safe. That's just ridiculous, okay? And that was my point on that. But, you know, look, it didn't go as far as we thought it would, but, you know, 50 wins in your second year, and now he's got his first recruiting class coming in. We'll see what happens.
You know? So is it going to upgrade that schedule big time?
One of the things that he was locked into this year was those two early season tournaments that were already scheduled with teams. And what Glasgow likes to do is what he did when he went to Oklahoma and Baylor. He likes to play a 14 tournament where, you know, you have two games and then the winners play, the losers, you know, like it's almost like a double elimination tournament or a single elimination tournament based, double elimination tournament. That's what he wants to do. That's what he'd rather do and bring in better competition. You know, to play in those tournaments rather than all of these teams that are just stat builders, you know, and play more games.
Tom,
he's probably going to have to go on the road to play more games against better teams.
Tom, he has to bring in better competition.
Yeah. What about? Oh, he will. Yeah.
What about those California tournaments? They not invited anymore?
Well, I mean, they weren't previously on the schedule. Now, whether he goes there or not, I would have to venture to say I would look for him with his contacts down the road to have games at Georgia and at Texas A&M and in other places where he knows coaches. You know, maybe Alabama Birmingham now that his past coaches are there. You know, he's going to have games against other better RPI teams. And then the conference really killed him this year. That's the weakest I think I've ever seen the conference. It was really bad, you know, and that hurt him on their RPI too. But I think everything's going to be upgraded. You just couldn't do it all in a year, particularly when you got teams already contracted to come in. Now, we'll see what happens when the schedule's released this year. I'm interested to see it, you know. Whether or not he's got that flexibility to do that this year, we'll see.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
So should we buy our tickets to the World Series already for next year?
I was seriously thinking about making reservations. Really was.
Well, if that girl, if the girl from Oregon is as good as they say she is.
Oh, she's good. And then five kids. And someone had some kind of report. I don't remember who put it out, but it was a report that was on the Internet that they were rating all the signees of all of the kids, and they did it by region, and they classified them. Are they all-conference material? Are they starting material? Are they all-conference material? Are they all-American material? And all five of the kids he signed got rated all-American material. Now, that could be the same thing as a five-star, four-star rating. I don't know. But, you know, I've seen some footage of, like, a Roman girl, man. She is an athlete. That's the Roman that played NFL. That's his daughter, you know. And she's a big girl that's athletic, though. She's not a big, heavy girl. She's a big, muscular girl, you know, for a girl, let me say. And I saw her hit a home run. It was just like it was dawn in the darkness after she hit it, you know. So if they can come into this level and play up to that potential, you know, who knows, you know. And he's got some more speed coming in next year and another pitcher coming in. So we'll see, you know. But you got to give him, you know, you got to give him a couple of years to get his players in here. So we'll see. This will be, like I said, this is his first recruiting class. We'll see what happens. Did you see the day where he's going to be coaching a USSSA Pride for the summer? Did you see that?
Glasgow's going to be coaching a select team?
Apparently, he's been asked to more or less kind of handle them during the summer. They're going on a summer tour. They're going to be in Lafayette.
Wow.
And they're going to be playing. And they're going on a summer tour where they play at a lot of places all over. And apparently, he's been asked to coach that. I saw the headline. I didn't get a chance to read the article because I'm on my way to get a good meal right now.
Yeah, well, you know what? Since you own a company's credit card, why don't you bring us each a steak?
Oh, you want a gold box? Okay,
wait, he's
no
on
problem.
The way where? He's on the way where?
I'm on the way to get a good meal. But at an undisclosed location because I don't want y'all showing up.
We'd embarrass you.
Well, yeah, I think we've already done
Tom,
that.
Tom, we had to have you show up on this show by phone.
Wait, Clint,
you can tell us.
Don, thanks for talking about softball. I know how much you loathe it, but, you know, by your text that you sent me in
I saw that. Hey, Clint has something for you.
All right, so we're talking about Jerry Glasgow being part of the USSSA Pride. It's not a select ball team. It's a National Pro Fast Pitch League. It's their premier organization. They've won the Cal's Cup four times and have been seven-time NPF regular season champs. And he's going to be coaching that team for the 2019 season starting June 6th through August 19th.
That's the team like Jenny Finch and Kat Osterman played for. Yeah. And Jen Lilly, the girl that sent a really, really nice letter. You probably saw it on Facebook or whatever, you know, talking about Jerry Ann. And she played with Jerry Ann at Oregon, and she's one of the members of the USSSA Pride. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's a pro team. I didn't mean to indicate that it was a select team. But, and he's going to be coaching them for the summer season. That ought to be interesting.
I posted her piece on Facebook for you to see.
Yeah, that was a very, very nice letter.
See, I don't hate softball, Tom.
Yeah.
No, I know you don't. I'm just kidding, Matt, you know. Isn't that what makes the show go?
No, you're not kidding. Let's be truthful. That's not what you
Tom,
would tell
I don't
me
hate
call.
Softball. I just hate you. Okay?
Now, see, that's a truthful man right there. He's
you know, you may not hang up on people, but I'm fixing to hang up on you.
Good timing, because we've got a commercial break, guy. Go eat a lot of food.
I'll take mine medium.
706-0111.
Do they have any girls there tonight, Tom?
Well, I think he's going to Michael's, right? 706-0111. That's your number here at the studios. We'll be back after this.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Gotta get myself off the side of the road. Gotta quit lying to myself and let the truth be told.
We talked a lot about the softball. Bruce, you watched the baseball today, right?
I was not able to watch today.
Did you watch it, Bobby?
No, I was busy doing stories.
Glenn? Okay. We are big on UL sports on this show. These three did not watch. Did you watch the game, Clint?
Which one, for the Cajuns?
Cajuns, yes. Yeah.
I was not able to watch it. I don't have ESPN
okay,
Plus,
have one,
so yeah.
We have one person in the – well – oh, you haven't purchased the big $5 a month?
No, I haven't purchased the big $5 a month.
Come on, Clint. They can give you a raise and give you that.
Well, yeah, I could pay for it gladly, but just I'm not paying for it. It's a principle of it. You used to have it for free.
What if it was LSU?
Well, I mean.
Well, at least LSU's on a channel that you can catch without having to pay the $5.99.
Yeah, just tune in to SEC channel. Yep. I mean, you're done with that.
I do, but he doesn't have Cox either.
Well, I got it rolling right here.
Well, that's the problem for being mid-major, man.
That's their way of answering it. None of the four watched the game today.
So good. You got the next 15 minutes. Knock yourself out.
The bullpen from the apocalypse strikes again.
Has all year.
I'm afraid it had Grant Cox.
He pitched well, though, didn't he?
Oh, he got into like, got into
seventh,
the eighth,
huh? Yeah.
7 2/3.
Yeah, I heard he pitched great.
Left a runner on base, and Lomont came in and immediately gave up a hit that scored that run. They gave him the lead. The Cajuns ran a suicide squeeze in the top of the ninth with one out to tie it. The Cajuns scored again in the 11th to take a one-run lead.
Is that Monica? Somebody hit a home run somewhere in there?
No, that was
in the 13th.
I'm
the
getting 13th? There.
Okay.
Yeah, they scored in the 11th. But who was on the mound then? Armstrong. Caleb Armstrong, I think there was a wild pitch in there and this and that. Anyway, Georgia Southern tied at bottom of the 11th. The Cajuns again had the lead in the 13th. That's when Monica hit the home run.
To go up again.
And Armstrong was still in there and, I don't know, gave up a hit. Jacob Schultz came in, and this is not a game that he's going to put in the scrapbook. Wild pitch, got the tying run home. And then on a first and second situation, they bunted, and he turned and went to third when he had no right going there at all. Guy was already on the base, and he threw it down the left field line. The run came in to come in.
That's how they lost?
That's how they lost.
Jeez. Well, they've had some bad luck.
That wasn't luck.
Nothing bad.
And you know what?
Bad execution.
Yeah. One other thing. People are going to, you know, and you read it about it again, this and that, you know. Oh, it's all Tony Robichaud's fault.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, it's all Robichaud's fault. We got to get rid of him. Let me tell you, folks, if you watch the game, those were not coaching errors.
Right.
Those were not coaching errors. Those were execution errors. Those were plays that you hope your high schooler makes.
No, I saw one of the deals on the message board. I couldn't believe it. This is what it said. Epic failure by the coaches.
See?
No one wants to address the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and I'm up there like, man, what you drinking?
Yeah.
You know, epic failure by the coaches. Jeepers.
That was not a coaching failure today.
No, it wasn't.
That was a lack of player failure.
It goes back to what you said. Yeah, they got problems with players. It's not coaching, you know. Now, what you were saying is assessment of players that you bring in might be questionable.
Yes.
But, you know, as far as what's happening on the field, no, that's the players.
But a lot of, and I'll give them this much. A lot of the failures are from very young players. All right, okay, that happens.
Yeah.
You know, not everybody's has a freshman All-American. The Cajuns don't have one of those. Mm. The other thing is, although the loss today was numbing, it's still not the end of the world for them.
No.
I mean, you can see the end of the world from where they're at.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world yet. They play at our time, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning against Troy, a team that lost in the eighth inning to Arkansas Little Rock 6-5. The loser of that game is home for the holidays. Yeah. You know, the winner goes on to play the next day. They don't have to play two games in one day yet. They play the next day. In fact, whoever wins tomorrow's game between UL and Troy will play the winner of the Arkansas-Little Rock Georgia Southern game.
Which is doable.
Yeah, and if it's the Cajuns, they might be looking right back at Georgia Southern, which threw its best arm today, by the way. Now, having brought up arms, the Cajuns don't have any left. You know, they used, I'm sure they're going to start Jack Burke tomorrow. But in terms of relief,
it's a mixed match.
Help me out, Clint. I'm having a, the lefty, the reliever who relieved yesterday.
Lefty, you mean Gunner?
No, not Gunner.
No.
Gunner got the save yesterday.
Came in late. He pitched.
Trying to think who it would be.
I'm having a brain cramp. It's not certainly not the first brain cramp I've had.
Not Perrin.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
Perrin. I don't think they put Perrin in. Even though Perrin does have a tendency to recover quickly, I can't see it.
He threw a lot of pitches. Yeah. So you used both Perrin and Leche yesterday. Leche only threw 13 pitches. So in a pinch, maybe they can use him a little bit. You know, but other than that, you know, you're starting to work on a wing and a prayer now.
How much of a problem is playing first up the next day after a 13-inning game?
No more problem than it will be for Troy playing first up after they lost a 6-5 heartbreaker.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of hours before. These are young kids.
Yeah.
And they're out there having fun.
Yeah.
You know, even when you lose badly, you're having fun. You're playing a game.
Yeah.
I don't think you throw anything in terms of excuses at that.
Yeah.
At all.
I think it's a big difference when you consider it's like they actually will have more than enough time to get like rest and get ready for that next game rather than, you know, you look at last year with the Cajuns in the Sun Belt tournament where they had to play like well into like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, mm-hmm. and then the next day you play at like 9 a.m.
Yeah, but that's nothing new for those guys. Those guys have been doing that their whole careers ever since they were in youth select ball.
Right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, because, I mean, today, like my grandson, we show up, we play at 8 o'clock in the morning, we play at 9:45 in the morning. If we win, we play at 11:45 in the morning, and we play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and maybe at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, and before we leave this subject, I need to bring up Daniel LaHare, UL's left fielder, who made a play in the late innings of that game.
Yeah,
that saved the game at that stage, and it's a Sports Center play. A shot into the left field corner with a runner at second.
Second base, yeah.
And LaHare somehow makes a sliding catch right up against the corner, pops up and throws the guy out at second, doubles him up before he can get back, and hit the second baseman on the fly.
Yeah, and he has a torn labrum, I heard. So he did all of that with that, which is incredible.
Then they lost Vaughn today. Apparently his hand got spiked on a bang-bang play at home plate that might have won the game, but he was called out. You know, I don't know how serious that injury is, but they did pull him from the game.
Wow.
It's almost to the point where it might be merciful for the season to end so they can get...
I don't know. People have been saying that for a while.
Circle the wagons and get ready.
I would just assume it not quite end yet. I'd like to see them win tomorrow morning.
Oh, I would too, but...
And have a shot the next day.
Yeah.
It just depends on if they demoralized or not, which would be understandable after all the bad luck
they've
got.
I think it depends upon if they have any arms that can get three outs in a given inning.
Yep.
What, do they play once tomorrow or twice?
No, they play once. I think you're going to have to start dealing with two games in one day, either Friday or Saturday.
Saturday, maybe. For sure.
Friday. I think it's Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, man, that's a long haul, man.
Like I said, that's without looking at the bracket for me. So
that's what happens when you lose in the first round of a double elimination tournament.
Well, also, and then you want to have to play the night before in the winner go home game.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, you did it to yourself. I mean,
yep.
You know. You won a few more games, you wouldn't have been in that situation.
Tigers won a win or go home game yesterday.
They really did, and it was impressive to see what they did.
From 5-1 down.
Cade Beloso is one hell of a player, and it's like I keep forgetting that he does what he does.
Yeah, I know he had a 2-run single.
Then he had an RBI single, I think, to pretty much clinch the game.
Oh, did he? All right.
Yeah.
Well, they're a good club. You know, they're not the great club that everybody thought they were going to be at the beginning.
South Carolina's not exactly the best team in the world.
No, they're not.
No.
No, they somehow beat Mississippi State.
But it was still good for them to come back and win the game.
Oh, yeah, it was huge for them.
No, there's certainly no argument about that.
And it really sets them up to be a regional host, possibly.
Well, that's what everybody's
that
saying.
That I don't buy.
Yeah, everybody
now,
else is buying.
Everybody who is pro-LSU is buying it. Oh, we got to host because we want a play-in game in the SEC tournament. Come on.
That shouldn't be enough to host.
No, it shouldn't. I think they're going to need to do a little bit more, Clint.
How many more, like hypothetically, how many more games would they need to win?
At least a couple.
I think they need to win at least one. And
I think they win tonight.
I think that would definitely wind up helping their case a lot more because Mississippi State is one of the best teams, not just in the SEC, but in the entire country, I think. And I would agree with what you're saying. I think you win against that winds up helping out quite a bit. Some news coming out of LSU, in fact. James Moran just put this out. Chris Reed is out of the lineup tonight. Cade Beloso is going to be at first base. And DiGiacomo is going to be the DH.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us on the show.
Well, how are we running on time for that game?
Oh boy, you're talking about time. You're talking about baseball. That is a bad thing to do.
What inning is it?
It's bottom six. Vanderbilt's just living there behind. I'm waiting for him to finally just like unload. Four or five more runs, so the game can be a mercy rule.
Yeah,
just give me some insurance here. Wow. The way we can
do they do mercy rules?
Yeah, they do mercy rules. That's something I completely forgot about until I hit the Google machine earlier because it was like 6-1 earlier, and I was just wondering what would happen if there's a mercy rule. But last year, LSU against Florida, they had to go to a mercy rule because it was 11-1 against Florida when they had that fog game on Friday night, that bled into Saturday.
My good. What are you watching in there?
Hey, it's the stadium. I'm a 32.1 over the air.
He's watching that, but he.
Well, I'm not watching that. I'm watching
the Cajuns today.
Well, see what he's watching back there.
That's just on in the background,
oh,
bro.
Oh my God! Really? Oh my goodness! Okay.
I wasn't even paying attention to it. You're the one just focus in on it.
What is that? WWE?
I don't know. I've been focused on y'all and checking on the.
Well,
I'm
looking straight ahead. I can't miss it.
Yeah, well, it's on commercial right now. I can tell that now.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Okay, nobody
cares.
Psych
gigs.
706-0111. That's your number at the studios. We need to take another break. When we come back, what would you guys think about a little trivia edition as part of this show in the very near future?
No.
All right, we'll do
Jeffrey
it.
Jeffrey style?
We'll do it. We'll talk about it when we come back.
As long as Clint can
participate. I let you think about that.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
You're going to have Tiger Baseball here on 103.7 The Game tonight, whether you want it or not. We're just not sure what time it's going to start. Simply because it is completely dependent on how quickly Vanderbilt beats hell out of whoever they're playing right now.
Top 7, one out right now, so hopefully
right
they
now
can.
It's a lot to a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the earliest you're going to have it is a 7:30 pregame, and goodness sakes, we cannot miss Tiger pregame.
No.
And the latest you may have it is probably like 8 o'clock. So we'll have you until then. Something I don't think we've ever discussed on the show to any great length would be that of professional wrestling. Somebody asked me the other day, and I really didn't have, I had several answers, but I don't know if any of them are right, and I promised I would ask you guys tonight. You don't have to watch it, to opine on what I'm going to ask you.
I grew out of that a long time ago.
You know, a lot of us grew out of it, but darned if it's like that wreck. Your eyes keep getting drawn back on a Monday or Tuesday night to either Raw or SmackDown.
No.
Okay.
Bruce?
This is the man over here to my left who's speaking, who watches Ancient Aliens.
Darn right, buddy.
There's no difference between Ancient Aliens or professional wrestling.
Man, y'all missing the boat, brother.
Is that show still going on?
Hell yeah.
I thought they got canceled.
No, it didn't get canceled.
It did. These are all reruns.
No, it didn't get canceled.
No, it didn't get canceled. If you listen, if you watch it, you might learn something.
Here's the question. Yeah, right. Okay.
Donna.
Learn a whole bunch of nonsense.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead. Donna,
I just wanted to remind you that the U.S. Air Force has finally admitted officially.
Thank you, Bobby.
That they track UFOs.
Okay.
Nevada can admitted it too.
Okay.
And?
So, but Don Allen says that I'm a quack.
No, you
and everybody who believes is a quack.
That series
I
is a
I can't say
quack.
What I think Don Allen
it's
is,
a
but
quackery.
I'm a quack.
It's a quackery.
What's that? You got the woo-woo. There you go. See there? See? I hope when they come to take you first.
No, they're going to take you first. Quips.
Oh, no. I'll volunteer to go, man.
Thank you, Roy Neary.
Huh?
Thank you, Roy Neary.
Anyway, what you were talking over a
moment ago. I like that, man. I like that. Thank you.
Here, you go ahead and take it.
I like that. Go ahead.
What you were talking over a moment ago, there, Ancient Aliens and WWE, it's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Here's the question that was posed to me, and I didn't have an answer. So, if you can be serious for a while, I don't care if you're serious or not, now that I think about
always
it.
Always serious.
Why do so many people watch professional wrestling?
You don't want my answer.
Yes, I do. I want them all.
No, you don't.
Why do so many people watch, Glenn? Seriously.
I don't want nobody bombing my car.
Nobody's going to bomb your car.
I mean, this isn't the old myths out days where people still believed it was real.
Well, what? A lot of people still do.
I highly doubt that.
I don't think so.
The cat's been out the bag for 20 years.
There may be some, but yeah, I don't think there are a lot. You see too many happy faces in those crowds for them to believe this is real.
Exactly.
They're laughing. They're being entertained, which is what it is now. Now, the question is, why do 10 to 15,000 show up in arenas and the WWE have the kind of stranglehold it's got on Monday and Tuesday nights?
Soon to be Friday nights.
And we're not even into pay-per-view because everything on Monday and Tuesday night is geared around promoting the next pay-per-view event.
Well, let me ask you.
Why are so many people into this?
Doesn't that say a whole lot about this society and where it's going?
That was my question. You
tell me. I'm telling you. That's the state of society today where that stuff is popular.
I'm not arguing.
Am I wrong, Bruce?
I don't think so. I think you have too much discretionary income in this country without a focus.
Yeah, but you could do something better than watch that.
Absolutely.
But this discretionary income, we're talking for the most part about television watching. We're not talking about putting out 30 to 50 bucks at a WWE.
You spoke of
event.
The crowds that show up and back the arenas. You know, and that's what I'm thinking about. You know, if you what you watch on television is, it's just.
I think I gotta be careful what I say, man.
No,
but there's a direct correlation between that and where we are as a society.
That may very well be the case. That was why I asked the question.
And the overall IQ of the nation.
That was apparent based on the last presidential election results.
Oh, exactly, man, exactly. I mean, you know, people like you, you believe that. So
well,
you believe that in wrestling. So
look at films right now, too.
What?
The empty violence, the
absolutely.
The plotless... You know, the carnage that you have in film.
Yeah, like we were just talking about John Wick.
You know,
yeah,
it's just way over the top. No apparent plot. No apparent.
But it's
meaning.
It's in every fabric of society. Look at music. Look when we were growing up, you had lyrics like the Temptations and all of these groups, all of the groups, you know, the Beatles, the Temptations, everybody, and their lyrics made sense, and they were about society, but there wasn't any cussing. Wasn't any. I mean, those songs said something. They had a meaning to them. Now, some of them are kind of deep, like, what is it? White or Shade of Pale. That was pretty deep. But, you know, there was something to them.
No one has still figured out Hotel California.
No, I still haven't. And, you know, I've watched.
I know.
I've watched the specials on TV a couple times, and it's like, no, I still haven't figured that one out.
Yeah.
Just something from the occult.
And now, of course, if you listen to a rapper, it is a bunch of F-bombs.
Yes.
Followed by disrespecting the female sex.
Yep.
Followed by the possibility of offing a cop.
Offing a cop. That's exactly what I was going to say. And you know, we
so
had,
you're right about the culture bit.
We had none of that. You know, it goes back to the simple things like you turn on the TV today, and I love it. My grandchildren like it. Is you turn on the and you watch some of these old shows. I think it's me or whoever.
Me TV. And you have KDCG has a couple of that as well.
Well, you have stuff like Andy Griffith where a kid actually learns right from wrong. You know, when Opie does something and Andy corrects him and teaches him. It sounds corny, but you understand that's when we started losing our values when we got away from that stuff and went to cussing on TV and shooting everybody on TV. And, you know, you and I are talking, we like the John Wick movies. But Bruce is right. It's senseless violence. It's just like this wrestling stuff. It's senseless. And, you know, you got a large portion of society.
Well, look
that
at look, the Untouchables was on the other day. The Costner.
Yes, the Costner.
The Palmum. That's some serious blood in that thing.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know?
Oh,
and
yeah.
You look back at the Untouchables TV series with Elliot, you know, Robert Stack and that bunch. Everybody got shot in that thing, but there was no blood.
Well,
so that's unrealistic, obviously.
Yeah, right. Well, here's a word of wise to you. Don't go watch John Wick if you thought that was bloody. Right, yeah. Right now.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the third
one. No, but even the first and second one.
I'm not likely to.
There was a larger body count in number two than number one. Did you know that?
There was what?
A larger body count in John Wick 2 than in John Wick 1.
Well, there's a bigger one in 3 than 1 and 2.
Bobby, never got an answer from you on the wrestling. We'll do it after the commercial. Is that cool?
Sure.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies, top of the hour break, back after this.
Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys, Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Here's your phone number, 706-0111. Haven't heard from you tonight. We don't like that. We heard from Tom Brown. We didn't like that either. So it would be nice if we hear from you. Where's Ralph been?
I don't know. Ralph must be offshore. He must be offshore or something. Ralph, if you're out there, give us a buzz.
I think Ralph is boycotting us.
Maybe so. I don't know.
Either that or Ralph's still looking for them Bubba jeans.
No, well, Ralph's if he doesn't have any jeans to wear, but Bobby might have them on tonight. What are those things?
Land's End.
Land's End.
Mm-hmm.
Another special?
Mm-mm.
No. No. These you actually bought?
These I actually bought.
At retail?
Well, they were.
Okay, can we move on?
60% off.
Oh, okay.
Haberdashery.
Bobby, you're the only one who has, well, actually, neither you nor I.
What?
Have given an opinion on why people are so into wrestling, professional wrestling. Glenn thinks it's cultural, and he thinks it's a sign of the apocalypse.
I think it's a sign of IQ.
That's what I said.
Friendly reminder that Glenn watches Ancient Aliens. Excuse me.
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? When I'm proven right on that, I don't want y'all calling my house wanting a seat on the saucer. All right.
Seat on the saucer.
I don't want.
Don't look at me like that.
I'm not asking for a seat on that saucer, Jack, because they'll do a lot. They ain't going to be having you there for drinks.
Huh?
Think they're going to?
They're not going to have you there for drinks, Jack.
They're going to drop down and rain to pick you up.
You never saw that. You never saw that Rod Serling thing where they came.
Twilight Zone?
Yeah, aliens came down and they had a book and they couldn't figure it out. They were trying to decipher it and all these people going up into space and couldn't decipher it. And the lady comes, she finally deciphered it, and she says, "The book to serve mankind." Yeah. It's a cookbook. So,
oh yeah, I've heard of it.
Seen that one?
Yeah, I've
heard
of it.
That was
a
great one. That was a great one. But anyway, he says IQ. What do you say?
I want more on the IQ. So it's basically that a lot of dummies out there who are intrigued by this.
Not entirely, but you know, it's like
not entirely.
You know,
good.
I mean, there are you know more erudite things that they could be doing. But look, they're the ones paying the money. Bruce had the best word, discretionary. They decide that's what they want to do with their money. It's certainly not anything I would want to do with my money. It's certainly nothing I would want to watch free on television. I mean, if I see that, we go somewhere else. I just do not. I never have. You know, I've seen people just get hung up on it and actually talk about these exhibitions like they're real, actual bouts, you know, that have some sort of league or something where they have wins and losses. Mm-hmm. When I was covering sports on my first tour of the Daily World, they had one of these WWE minor league wrestlers who came
wasn't called Opelousas WWE Hockey back then.
Well, yeah, this would probably be Mid-South Wrestling when you had like JYP.
I don't even know if it was Mid-South, but
I'm almost certain.
They came to Opelousas High School, and I got to go back to their dressing rooms. I forgot if it was either before or after the event. And you know, they were just laughing.
Yeah.
There were no bruises. Absolutely. There were there was no blood. There were
no
bruises.
Were all friends.
Yes, exactly.
It was all choreographed. All belts.
And I think. And when did the federal government demand for, I guess, taxes' sake, that it was no longer advertised it as a sport, and that it was entertainment. That was about 30 years ago.
I believe it was 1989.
Really.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It would have been about 40 years, almost 40 years ago then. But it is not. And I don't think most people consider it a sport. I think, like Glenn, Glenn's right, some still do, but I think they're in the minority now. They look at it as entertainment, and that's kind of the way I look at the people who follow this. I think, to some degree, WWE and professional wrestling is the modern-day equivalent of the circus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good comparison.
You know, we don't have the. They do jump through hoops. You know, and I haven't
except
seen
the girl we just
right.
saw on the screen. She couldn't. She couldn't go through a hoop.
All right, no tigers.
Oh, come on, that was cool, Bob.
I'm sorry.
That was the viper. That was the viper that you're talking about.
Bloated viper.
But you know, when we were growing up, to me it was more real when we were growing up. I mean, when those guys hit when they hit you with a chair, they hit you with a chair.
Well, I mean, obviously, because the fact that you weren't told that it was fake or predetermined, if you will, is, again, I mean, I grew up knowing pretty much that it was fake almost from Jump Street because of all the documentaries that came out kind of exposing the business. And now you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube at this point as being a sport or being real, as we're putting it.
It was never a sport.
Well, what you call it? No, but again, it was more believable and more real
because we were young and stupid.
Yeah, but Don, in the 60s, I saw some of that. That was like real blood. When they hit you with a folding chair, they hit you with a folding chair. That's when Adrian Bajon and all of those guys.
And there were tricks, and you could read about them where razor blade didn't. If you just give yourself a nick or a cut on the forehead, it bleeds like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a culture that goes way back. I mean, people have always liked it.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, it is entertaining, but if you think I'm going to sit there and watch that stuff.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Not everybody does.
No. No.
But enough people do that have made Vince McMahon almost a billionaire.
His wife?
Yes.
Didn't his wife get the company?
No. His wife was actually part of Trump's cabinet. As part of the Small Business Administration, if I'm not mistaken,
multi-millionaire.
But she since stepped down, I believe, to be part of Trump's re-election campaign in 2020. And basically,
Why am I not surprised?
Vince is still running the whole show right now, but he's definitely handing that off to his son-in-law and also his son as well. Now that he's back,
they got divorced and she got control.
That was a storyline,
and she got control.
That was a whole story. Quib! Oh my God! You literally got work to do to shoot there with that angle in 2009.
Well, like I said, I don't watch that stuff.
That was a whole angle.
So that's like watching a soap opera then.
Well, at that time, yes, I would have to agree with you. Definitely, it was definitely a lot more soap opera-esque with Vince cheating on her and all. I would agree with you. I can't believe it's the best thing I've ever heard.
Wait. So you mean that? See, yeah, because I, like I said, I don't watch.
Like, just legitimately, you thought they were divorced.
So you're saying like, oh, you know, like you know, all of that stuff was fake, you know, and like Vince cheating on her and all this other stuff. Please,
you invited.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but
you invited him to talk at this show. Huh? And he's laughing
not
at you.
Air.
I know he is, because I don't watch that trash.
No, but you literally just like explained an entire key storyline from 2000 till 2000, like late 2001, early 2002.
Okay, hold on.
This is a big storyline. You actually brought this up. This from like WWF.
Hold on. Well, obviously you're a big fan.
I host a podcast on through 1037thegame.com called the 20 by 20. Programs podcast specifically about
that.
Pro wrestling.
I don't know that I would admit that on the show a lot.
Okay. Wait. I got to get something straight here.
Let's go.
So you telling me Vince McMahon and what's her name, McMahon, are still husband and wife?
They're still married to
You're
this day.
You're kidding me. No, I'm kidding.
I'm dead serious, man. Yeah.
To each other.
Like I said, to each other. I mean, sure, maybe Vince McMahon has had some infidelities, but not in terms of storyline. I believe they are still married, so... I'm sure,
that's a business partnership, bro.
Oh, yeah. But like I said, she's handling a lot of the stuff with the Trump administration.
Well, I tell you what, they duped me, I guarantee you.
They duped you. They were doing this shoot there.
Oh, really?
Wow. This is amazing. I need a moment.
I guess I need to watch more pro wrestling.
Or you just need to realize, you need to separate fact from fiction. Then again, this show is Five Guys Stories and Lies.
Okay, well, I'll ask you with Don Allen, who the hell's divorced, who's cheating on who in the WWE and all that.
Well, they don't
normally
do as much of that anymore. It's more about what's going on in the 20 by 20 squared circle as opposed to, you know, like all the other stuff that you're talking
squared
about.
Squared circle. Get this.
He didn't say that, did he?
Yeah, the 20 by 20
squared circle. Yeah, what did that mean?
That's the wrestling ring. The wrestling ring in WWE is 20 by 20. 20 feet by 20 feet.
Square circle.
Squared circle. That's what they call the wrestling ring. Squared circle.
Why?
Like, I have no idea.
It's like the open air crow dome.
Thank you.
I've led a sheltered life. I have apparently no idea what the hell they're talking about.
You know, of course, the Kardashians are not real. Just wanted,
you mean Duck Dynasty?
Well, no, don't get me started on Kardashians.
Duck Dynasty, that's not real?
Huh?
Duck Dynasty, that's not real?
No, it's scripted.
Now,
the gun part, that's real.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, of course. You know,
the gun part's real, dude.
Santa Claus?
Huh?
Santa Claus not real?
Play some commercials,
man.
They
might have some kids listening, Clint. Good gracious.
I mean, they're probably on their iPad not paying attention to the show.
Huh? You're probably right. Playing Fortnite.
There we go.
There you go. Oh, Lord.
We can all agree on something. That's probably what's going on with the kids. Not listen to Five Guys.
Well, you know, you broke my heart because I didn't know that Vince and Vivian or whatever her name is were still married, man. I thought they were divorced. It's kind of like the time I was in college and they told me that Miss Kitty was a lady of the night. I thought she was a saint.
Thank God we're getting at least to a story, even though it's got nothing to do with sports. At least we're getting to a story part of the show. So tell us about Miss Kitty.
What about Miss Kitty? No, man, I led a sheltered life.
So you thought
we could tell.
Huh?
You didn't know she was a hooker?
No. I'm a freshman in college. I'm sitting in English 101.
Freshman in college means you're how old?
18.
And what was this?
And you didn't know Miss Kitty was a hooker?
Never crossed my mind.
This was a discussion in English 101?
Yeah. Yeah, she blew my mind. I'm sitting there and she says, well, y'all.
No.
Huh?
Don't go there.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
I think we're going to take a break here.
No, I know, because that's what people have told me. Man, you led a sheltered life. No, I didn't know that about Miss Kitty. When she said it, I was shot for the day and the next day. It's like, I can't believe she said that about Miss Kitty.
So how did this conversation begin?
I don't know. Somebody brought up gun smoke and this professor, this lady. She said, well, y'all do know that Miss Kitty is like you said, I'll use the word hooker. That ain't what she said, but it's like my jaw dropped. Not Miss Kitty, not nice Miss Kitty. Miss Kitty was, ooh. And then I started thinking, I went, oh, makes sense. Welcome to my world, man.
Oh, God.
Wait a minute. All of y'all knew Miss Kitty was that?
We didn't think about it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we didn't.
No, that's what I'm telling you.
I mean,
so when she,
mind you, I've never watched an episode.
Yeah, I knew she was a dance hall girl. Yeah. I didn't take it that one step further.
Yeah.
No, but that professor did.
I know she wasn't a school teacher.
No, but I mean, she. You know, I still watch the reruns today. I don't think of that of her today.
I always thought she and
Matt they were a couple. They were
yeah.
a couple, kind of like Vince and Mrs. Vince. You know, except they didn't get divorced. Or say they got divorced.
They got divorced in storyline, not in real life.
Well,
there's
I'm done with wrestling. Then if they back together,
they never broke up.
Back together.
How can you get back together if you never broke up?
Well, I don't know.
How can I miss you if you won't go away? You know, yeah. Western song. Yeah.
We better go to a break because y'all getting to me now.
Bobby, at what point did we completely lose control?
Like oh, the show. Probably at the start.
55 seconds in.
It's been spiraling downward ever since.
Right about the same time Tom called.
Well, that's like remember. We said. We're not a conventional sports talk show. I mean, we go everywhere.
No, even
to space. Right, CD?
It was definitely pre-Tom.
We'll be back.
There you go.
Now, back to Five Guys, Stories, and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Five Guys, Stories, and Lies. On this Wednesday evening. Well, we haven't heard of that before, have we?
What?
Have we had that
as, come together,
as bumper music before?
Yeah, we've had it a couple times.
Well, yeah, I don't remember. That's great.
Well, I think we had it on.
You and I tend to forget a lot of stuff.
A few weeks. I think you were the one that kind of threw it my way. You requested this.
I definitely forget a lot of stuff. Where were we when we left? Someplace we should not go back to again.
Yeah,
wrestling and let's not go back.
Programs.
Hey, you want to talk about our friend down the road? Will Wade?
Yeah, go ahead.
Still recruiting.
Huh?
Still recruiting.
Wade, he got his first recruit since all of this stuff broke. What's his name here? Trannon Watford out of Birmingham.
See if you can find money.
Ranked number 16. Number 16 forward in the country, man. That's pretty good. 23 points. He chose LSU over, who was it? Alabama and Kansas, Clint.
He is considered a five-star recruit, correct?
He's a four.
Oh, a four. I thought it was a five.
No, he was a four. But they also, prior to this, they signed a kid, James Bishop, out of Baltimore, 6'2", 180, number 28 shooting guard in the country. And they signed a guy named Charles Manning, 6'5". He wasn't ranked. He was from New York via a junior college. But you know, Smart's coming back. Skylar Mays is coming back. Marlon Taylor's coming back. So they're going to have a nucleus for a good team. And then with bringing in these guys, I'm amazed. I'm amazed he signs the number 16 player in the country.
Why are you amazed?
With all of the clouds surrounding that program?
That cloud is ringed with dollar bills, though. And I'm being only partially facetious here, but that's going to be with him forever.
Well, and again, we've talked about this. This kid signs with them, hoping that everything's going to turn out okay.
Right.
But if it doesn't, he can always go back and sign with Kansas or Alabama, whoever, with no problem. So, you know, and maybe that's what he's thinking. Well, I'll go there. They have a shot to be pretty good. You know, maybe he can't play at Kansas too soon. And goes to LSU where he knows he'll play right away. And if something happens, then he can always go to Kansas, I guess, you know. But right now, nothing's happening as far as – of course, it's still early,
yeah.
You know, as far as the NCAA deciding what they're going to do. But it's amazing. Now, somebody told me, CD, did you hear this? That they said Orgeron kind of took a shot across the bow at Wade when he said something about his recruiting class that's – like in the top three in the country, and he said something to the effect, and we did it the right way or something like that. Did he say really say
I think he did say something along those lines, him saying they do it the right way when it comes to recruiting. I don't know. I mean, you could definitely take it a lot of different ways.
Oh, I took it.
You could take that one way. You can take that one way.
But I'm saying directed towards Will Wade, Nick Saban, a lot of other notable programs. You know?
No, I don't think so. Saban doesn't have the NCAA up his hind.
Yeah. Well, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, and a guy said, well, he directed that at Saban. I went, you sure he directed that at Saban and not?
You can direct it towards a lot of different programs across the country, if we're going to be honest.
Look, Kevin Foote and I had a discussion yesterday, and again, it's kind of like the Miss Kitty. He said, are you serious? You don't believe that Alabama cheats? And I said, yeah, I don't believe Alabama cheats because I don't think Alabama needs to cheat because it's just like Notre Dame High School and some of these high schools where you get such a good program with such good coaches and such good outcomes, why do you need to cheat? Hey, kid don't want to come here? Heck with you, man. I got another one. I got another five-star over here. He's dying to come. Don't come. I don't care.
Ask Kevin next time you see him.
What?
Clemson's back-to-back national champions.
Yeah.
Do they cheat? Have they cheated to get there?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think the real successful programs have to cheat. It's like, here we are. You want to play for a national championship? You want to get drafted in the NFL? You want to be coached by the best coaches in the country? Here we are.
That's just the way I see it.
Yeah, there you go. That's how I see it. But yeah, am I wrong? Do you think those schools teach the cheat? I'm waiting for one of y'all.
I can't sit here and say definitively no. Neither can I sit here and say definitively yes.
But I don't think anybody can. But again, I think they have so much to offer. They don't need to do that stuff.
You would think a school like Arizona State, Southern Cal. You know, we can name a few that you would think they would not have to do that either. But they're doing it. Why?
They may do it. I don't think Nick Saban needs to do it at the level his program is. At the success it has, he can sit down and show a young man, here's what we're offering you. Look at the facilities and the amenities they have and stuff. And we can do this for you. And I promise you, if you stay 4 years and you're as good as we think you are, you're going to be a first or second round pick in the NFL.
I've got one scenario for you.
What's that?
Saban and several other head coaches just like him, they are God on those campuses. Yep.
Absolutely.
There is, I would think, such a tremendous amount of pressure on his assistants to get certain people in here to keep him on the throne.
No.
You can't convince me otherwise of that.
Let me tell you, every kid in the country, if Saban knocks on his door, he's going to visit. There's not many kids that are not going to visit. You got a phone call?
Yeah, we got Ryan on the line. Once again, in on this.
Hey, Ryan.
Okay, Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, I think when you're talking about the top 5 to 8 or 5 to 10 teams in each sport, there's definitely some improprieties going on because they're competing for the same kids. So Alabama being that great, yeah, that's going to give them the edge, but what's going to really give them the edge is what they put out on the table, benefit-wise. that's why Will Wade got caught, because he's not a top 10, top 15 program. That's why it was, you know, the spotlight hit him so hard, because he was trying to cheat and not be in a top program, but the top programs definitely are taking that next step and doing what they got to do to get those guys.
I thought it hit him.
It's two and four between.
Go ahead. I thought it hit him so hard because he was trying to eat and he got caught.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't do a very good job of it. I mean, he got caught on an FBI wiretap, for heaven's sake.
He made a rookie mistake.
That's not the impression we get about the boy coming in.
One way to look at it, Glenn.
But no, right. What about you? Look, I go back to, I think his name, what was it, Brandon Collins, the kid from down the road by Baton Rouge that signed with Nick Saban?
Yeah.
You remember that? Mm-hmm. You know, he picked Alabama because he knew in 2 or 3 years he would be in the NFL and he'd be a star. I really believe that. He wanted to go to the best coaching that he could get and the quickest way to NFL and national championship, and that was it. And, you know, you can't fault a kid like that. I mean, those legitimate five-star blue chippers, if they get a chance to go to Alabama, it was like the old days at Notre Dame and places like that, where if you get an offer, you go. You go. So that's just my thoughts.
Anyway, Brian, thanks for the call. 706-0111. I think we're going to be here for a little while longer because Vanderbilt is still kicking rump up there, are they?
What you got, Clint?
Yeah, no, it's in the top eight there. But top eight, Vandy up 8-1 right now.
Okay.
Three more runs, please.
Top eight. So we're probably here till 8.
Yeah.
Which
means there's no
doubt. Which means the Tigers aren't going to be around until probably sometime between 8:30 and 8:45.
Yeah, if it ends right now, they still got to clear the field, take
30 minutes.
Half hour, yeah.
So, Five Guys, Stories and Lies continues on this Wednesday after this. Was that us or was that you?
That was on me.
Well, you were watching something, weren't you?
No. I was actually setting stuff up for tomorrow on the log, and apparently I forgot to put in one before the show got started on that one bumper music. That's on me.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, we're good.
Just checking.
What is that song? That's something you gave him to?
No. Strange Brew. Strange Brew by the band Cream.
Cream. Oh, yeah. You remember Cream?
Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Jack Bruce. Ginger Baker.
Mm. That was the group.
Goodness
Cream.
Goodness gracious.
That is correct. Oh, that is
first,
the group Cream.
First super group.
I don't know about that. I know they were billed as that. I guess because of the three individuals were so famous.
Yeah. Were they ever individuals? you know how Ginger Baker got the cut on his chin, huh?
No.
Jack Bruce hauled off and threw his bass at him.
Kind of stuff happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, in the studio. You know, it's just no problem.
All right. So, you can give the number again? We might get one more call.
No, feel free.
337-706-0111.
The ARCO Equipment Hotline.
ARCO Equipment. We supposed to say that after?
Yeah, ARCO. Okay. Or before.
Or before.
Preferably the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Why, wide open, everybody.
That's why we got you back there. You know, somebody told me, I gave a speech yesterday, said, listen, man, we don't have the 5-second delay button over here. Be careful. I don't know, why are you telling me that? You know,
where did you
never
a,
know?
Where did you give a speech?
At the Baptist Center, man.
Wait a minute, you're Baptist?
No.
Well, please explain this to me.
No, that's where Philip was getting honored, and I had to go talk. That's where
Philip,
Timothy, he's getting a.
You think everybody
award.
Automatically?
Well,
knew
Philip
it was
Timothy
Philip
is
Timothy?
Getting a Distinguished Service Award at the Hall of Fame, and he works at the Baptist Message, which is at the Baptist headquarters in Alexandria. So they asked me to go speak, say something about Philip. So I went, and Philip was telling me the first thing
it's
happened.
It's kind of like a eulogy, isn't it?
Yeah, but he's not dead.
I know.
Anyway, so the pastor.
Testimonial.
The pastor, whatever, meets me, he says, I've heard about you, Quib. Man, that's a Cajun name, Quib. I'm kind of a little leery. And Philip says, yeah. He said, listen, man, in that speech, he said, make sure you don't cuss. He said, you know, we don't have a 5-second delay. I'm up there, man. I'm here, you know, with all you Baptists. I'm not going to cuss.
You don't cuss.
So
first thing he did was get up there and say, damn, I'm happy to be here.
No, I didn't. In fact, when the pastor got up there to introduce me, he said, and we got one of Philip's really good friends, Quib.
that was it,
Glenn,
Quib?
Well, no, and then he said, Glenn Quib. But before he walked away from the podium, he said, remember, Quib, we don't have a 5-second delay. I went, man, I must have a hell of a reputation, man. So,
cursed immediately.
That's not cursing. So I get up there. And I said, and I started laughing. I said, you know, that's a great introduction, you know. But I said, now you people got to listen. I'm, forgive me. I'm a Cajun from South Louisiana, I'm a Cajun Catholic from South Louisiana, and we tend to have loose lips, but I promise I'm not going to say anything like that tonight. They got a kick out of that. But, yeah, Phillip's going in the Hall of Fame on June the 9th in Natchitoches. We're going to have...
you might also explain to everybody why Phillip Timothy is going into the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's getting
in Natchitoches. He worked for him, what he did.
A lot of people around here recognize that name because he was a prep editor for Bruce at the Advertiser for years, and phenomenal makeup, and he did outdoors. He did everything. So he's going in there, and he's in the same class with Peyton Manning and Les Miles. So all these people are going to be inducted the same night. What we had to do was move the induction ceremony from the Natchitoches Civic Center. We knew we were going to get a big crowd, and we are. And we had to move it to the Prather Coliseum so we'd have enough seating. And right now they're thinking about selling seats in the stands. It's $100 a ticket to that thing, and we've sold between 700 and 800 tickets. People want to see Peyton Manning is what it is. It's kind of like when we had Shaquille O'Neal to open the Hall of Fame. So people want to see Peyton Manning.
But you told the Baptist congregation that all those people were there to see Phillip Timothy, right?
No, I didn't say that.
No.
No, I didn't say that. No, I just, you know.
Could have.
I was there, to, you know.
June 8th, by the way, not 9th.
Yeah, June 8th. June 9th is our awards banquet.
Yeah.
It's on a Saturday night.
It's coming up, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know what? The thing is sold out. The Peyton, we normally have it at the end of June, but Peyton couldn't be there, but I think because of the passing academy or something. So we had to move the dates up to the 6th, 7th, 8th?
6th, 7th, 8th is the convention, yeah.
So it's going to be a big deal. Like I said, a lot of people are showing up because it's Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And the whole Manning family is going to be there. So, you know, if you're looking for autographs and stuff, you know, Eli is going to be there. Archie's going to be there. Peyton's going
to
be there.
But you have Cooper no tickets. You have no tickets to sell.
Well, you don't. Yeah, but you don't really need that because we have some functions on the Friday night. We have a music deal on the Cane River. They have
that was a blast last year.
Oh, it's unbelievable. In fact, Wayne Toop showed up, and he was playing with the local band. And he was fantastic, and we're going to have that again this year. So you can go, and they're going to be there. They're going to be there. All the Hall of Famers will be there because they introduce them on the stage on the Friday night on the Cane River. So anybody that doesn't want to go spend $100 to go to the Coliseum can go Friday night on the Cane River. It doesn't cost them anything, and they'll be able to see them and meet them.
Okay, it works. Well, I hope it's a great success for everybody.
Well, it already is. Yeah, it already is.
Well, you didn't need my hoping it was a great success, did you?
We'll take it.
Why you have to be a jerk about everything? You know, all you got to say was thank you, Glenn,
all you had to do was say thank you for that, Don.
You know, and I'm being nice saying jerk, you know, because like I said, a 5-second delay button in there. So, anyway.
So I hope everything.
Bruce is shaking his head again.
We can't take you anywhere.
Look, Bruce is shaking his head again. Like, man, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? I got to call my brother when I leave here and tell him you ain't gonna believe what they said tonight. Anyway, what's next? Oh, we're gonna talk about Matthew Bowling, the sprinter.
You can.
No, I mean, does everybody know in here? I think we all know who we're talking about. We're talking about that sprinter, high school sprinter from Houston. Who ran, 10.18, 10.13?
Originally it was 9.98, but they said because of a 4-mile-an-hour wind, it was not allowed.
And then he ran it again.
Yeah, and ran a 10.1 and changed
10.13.
Broke the national high school record.
Yeah, and then Ted Ginn CD?
Ted Ginn
from the Saints challenges him to a race. I got news for Ted. He's fixing to pay $10,000 because he ain't going to beat this kid.
Kid heard about that and said bet.
Oh, and look, after that, he ran, after running that 10.13 or whatever it was, he ran on the 4x4 relay team, and I told you this earlier, he gets a baton in second place on the anchor lap, at least 30 yards behind, if not 40. And up there, there's no way he's going to catch this guy because this guy that's running anchor leg for the lead team probably runs like a 46, 47, which is amazing for high school. He comes and he catches that guy, runs like a 44.78. That's ungodly in high school. Unbelievable. Anybody knows track, it's like, man, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't run the 100, dude. I'd just concentrate on the 400.
He didn't run the 100 till this year.
Yeah.
He was a 400-meter guy.
Yeah, I mean.
He was Jeremy Warner.
But, you know, he so much reminds me of the Nugent kid from North Vermillion.
Barrett Nugent.
Barrett Nugent. They look alike, kind of, don't you think? I mean,
they range it, and
Barrett could fly.
Oh, yeah, he could stride.
Barrett was our bowling, if you remember right.
Yeah.
You don't remember that name, do you?
No.
Oh, you had to see
He went
that.
To LSU, won NCAAs when he was at LSU in the 300-meter hurdles.
Hurdles.
400-meter hurdles and 110s in college. And he could just walk over hurdles. I mean, there was no, you know, there's none of this hopping over business. You know, he was just smooth.
You know, he and Mondo, you would go to a track meet, and when they competed, everything stopped. You'd sit there and you'd go, I got to watch this.
Yeah.
And that's what
a generational athlete.
Yes.
That's a kid in Houston.
Yes. I remember Rodney Milgren.
Oh, yeah. Rodney was smooth.
And who was the, and I don't remember his name, the white hurdler? Tennessee, maybe?
Huh? From here?
No, from Tennessee, maybe?
Not Jeff Phillips.
No.
Richmond Flowers?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Richmond was sweet.
Richmond Flowers.
Yeah. Flowers was just one of those that, there was no movement. It was just all smooth.
The head's always right where it's going, the same place.
But, you know, as far as for high school track athletes, we had Barrett and we had Duplantis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people forget in one year we had Kenny Marshall and what was Peterson's name?
Scott.
Scott Peterson throwing a shot put 70 feet, man. Is that right? 60-something, almost 70.
In the 60s, high 60s.
High 60s in high school, man. That was unheard of. It still is unheard of.
And Scott at the time was like 16 years old and Marshall was 19, something like this, and it was they would duke it out pretty good.
Yeah, we have a phone call.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, we got him, Melvin, on the Arco Equipment Hotline.
The only other one, Johnny Hector, he would long jump 25 and he would triple jump 50. And then who was the kid from Franklin that played for the Globetrotters, played for the Globetrotters?
Verdon? No, Conley Verdon?
Conley Verdon.
And never ran track in his life. I might have told that story.
Yeah.
He jumped out the pit the first time he ever jumped. The
coach just grabbed him because he needed somebody
25
on the event.
25-footer.
Let's go to the call.
Yeah, we got him, Melvin, on the line.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Okay, now, I don't know if y'all missing the part about this this kid. You know he's white.
Yes, we've been told, yes.
Yeah, it's called White Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is pretty much unbelievable to begin with. And, you know, and the kid never ran the 100-meter race before this year.
Yeah,
he's like a new prodigy. Now, he did win the state title. You know, he came out second in the 400 last year in the state meet. But this year, he won the 400. He won the 200. He won the long jump. And
What did he long jump? It had to be over 25.
It had to be because we're talking about the 6A Texas state meet. So we're talking about the kids he's beaten are pretty good.
Yeah, the best they got.
You know,
I
mean, this kid here is Ted Ginn's 34-year-old, but you better stay away from him.
That's what we said.
He could get embarrassed.
That's 10 grand. He's is gone, man. He might as well write the check now. Yeah.
And I mean, look, I want to keep on emphasizing. The thing is, does Ted Ginn want to get beat by a 17-year-old white boy? Because when's the last time you've seen a white sprinter be the best young sprinter in the country?
Yep.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Been a while. Okay, tell me when was that while? I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty old, but I don't remember ever the United States fastest human being to be white.
Maybe Jim Thorpe.
Billy Cannon ran a 9.8 one time.
Yeah, but that was 100 yards. That was 100 meters. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Al Coffey was fun.
Huh?
Al Coffey was fun.
Yeah, but again, they were all running yards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can't, you know.
Coffee was a 400 meter guy mainly, you know.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's few and far between.
You know, 100 meters, you'd have to add.
If
0.9,
we can even think of it, you know.
So,
but anyhow, look, if you ever seen the video, you know, he looks pretty slim.
Yeah.
And I think he signed with Georgia.
Yep.
They
haven't introduced him to steroids yet, and he's going to be like more of the international track runners. Well, God knows what this kid can do. But anyhow, fellas, y'all have a good night.
Thank you for calling. Look, man, not everybody cheats, man. Georgia don't stereo give steroids, huh? No, you can't do that in track, man. They test you too much in track, man. You can't even take over-the-counter stuff.
You're talking about him in the 4x4 in his 94 state meet. Acadiana High had like this nationally ranked 4x200 meter relay, and all the guys were fast. John George and Corey Robinson, those guys.
Yeah.
And George read and the second leg, and Corey was the anchor, and Corey was flying. I mean, he was really, you know, taking it in on the anchor leg. And yet, here come Desmond Johnson, St. Aug.
Mm-hmm.
He was gaining on him every stride. And the whole stands were just up, you know, as it only gets at the state meet. And if he had had about five more meters, Corey will tell you that he wasn't sure at all he would hold him off, because Desmond was flying. He was running 46, 400 at the time. He went to Tennessee.
The most memorable thing I ever saw in high school track was when Orlando McDaniel and Ephraim Davis were running for Lake Charles High School.
Yeah.
When they were setting those national records.
Yeah.
And we were in Alexandria at the regional meet, and they dropped the stick in the 4x2.
And still won.
And went back, picked up the stick, and still won. Dude, I'll never forget that. Those cats could fly.
There's not enough time to go do that.
Oh, no, man. It's unbelievable.
But they did anyway.
Unbelievable. What you got?
We need to take a commercial break.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. LSU, Auburn, Vandy just wrapped up 11-1 final score. The first pitch between LSU and Mississippi State slated for 8:20.
We'll take
a commercial break, and then we'll just wrap it up here, then, I would presume.
Okay. Yeah, because you got your
pre-game. Take the commercial break, come back, we'll be just a moment, and or do you want to wrap it up now?
I say wrap it up now. We'll wrap it up in a nice little – we'll just wrap it up here, because pre-game's going to start in 2 minutes anyways.
Well, you know what? We don't want to miss any LSU pre-game. Perish
gotta
that
keep it up.
Thought.
Great in-depth reporting.
Some sarcastic people here.
No, I was being serious.
Keep in mind, NCAA track's coming up. Mondo's out there again.
Oh, really?
God knows how high he can go now.
We'll be back next Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Five Guys, Stories and Lies for Bobby Ardwan, Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido. I'm Don Allen. Tom Brown was not here tonight. He does not get a mention. And for our wizard behind the window, Clint, we'll talk with you next week, folks.
Try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy.